So the daf for today is Peites Amud Aleph. We're going to start, and let me just review the last drasha that we had, starting on the bottom of Peites Amud Beis, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara brought a whole string of statements of agadic nature from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Many of them had to do with Maimed Har Sinai and how when Moshe Rabbeinu got up to the top of the mountain, and the Malachi Asharis asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's this Yeluda Isha doing here, up here with the celestial beings? And what ensued was an entire back and forth in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving the Torah to Moshe, to man. The Malachim said, why? I mean, Ma'adircha, you know, this is the Torah that has been kept for so many centuries before Kriyas HaTorah, before the Kriyas HaOlam, and 974 Doros, and now you want to give it to mortal man, Ma'enosh Ki Tizkerenu, after all, T'no Hodcha L'Shamayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to give him an answer. Moshe holds on to the Kisei HaKavod to protect himself from the angels, and he basically drills the angels and proves to them that nothing in the Torah really speaks to them. God identifies himself in the first of the Aseret HaDibros as the God who took you out of Mitzrayim. The angels didn't go down, weren't subjugated to slavery in Mitzrayim. The Torah says that you shouldn't have other gods. I mean, after all, the angels live up there in the heavens. They don't have any temptation. They don't live amongst the nations of the world. And there's no idol temptation for idolatry. There's no Shabbos up in Shamayim, because the angels don't work for 6 days and rest on the seventh. And all the parts of the Torah that deal with Masu Matan, with business transactions, that's all irrelevant to the angels. So, for example, taking an oath. There's no such thing as a juridic oath up in Shamayim. Kavedis avich vesimecha, you have parents that you have to honor them. And all the other prohibitions that are based on the Yetzer Hara. Do you have a Yetzer Hara up in Shamayim? And at the end of this whole long discussion and this debate, Hodulo, they confessed and they gave up their claim for the Torah. And therefore, Hashem Adonai Ma'adir Shimcha, they no longer, at the end of this capital until them, they no longer say Tnu Hodcha Ala Shamayim, which they said originally, meaning that the Hod, which is the glory of the Torah, should be up in Shamayim. They dropped that. And at this point, in this capital of Tilim, all they're claiming is your glory, God, is declared in the heavens. And now we're up to Miyad Kol Echad V'Echad. This is where we want to start today, on Daf Pei Tes Amud Aleph. And you'll see about 10 lines down from the top. And the first word in the line is Hashamayim. And the last word in the line is Nasalo. So Miyad Kol Echad V'Echad Nasalo Ohev. At the end of this entire dialectic between the Malachim and Moshe Rabbeinu, they became friends with Moshe Rabbeinu. How does that friendship express itself? Masalo Dovar. They gave him a gift. Shenemar. How do we know that they bestowed some sort of a gift upon Moshe Rabbeinu? And this is based on Tehillim, Perek Samaches. It says, Alisa Lamarom, you ascended up to the heavens, which means to receive the Torah. Shavisa Shevi, you captured us as captive, meaning you defeated us in all your arguments. And not only that, Lokachta Matanos Ba'odom, and you have received gifts because of man, because you represent man, and man is going to receive the Torah. And b'schar shekra nucha adam lo kachto matonos. The Gemara explains why is it that the angels owed an extra gift to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's not enough that they befriend Moshe Rabbeinu and they adore him, but they have to bestow gifts upon him. And the Gemara answers, because of the choice of the word Adam. When the angels describe man, they describe him as Adam. The word Adam, although it may has many different nuances of meanings, but one meaning is very humbling. Adam means min hadama, that man came from the lowly earth. That's how God created man. And by calling man Adam, in a certain sense, the angels are looking down at man, and therefore they owe him a gift to make up and to pacify him for the fact that they were so condescending to man. And not only do the angels in general give a gift, but there's a special gift that was bestowed upon man, a very powerful gift that Moshe Rabbeinu received. And that's from the Malach HaMavis, of all the Malachim, the one to give the most important gift to man, to Moshe, is the Malach HaMavis himself. Masalo Dovar, he gave him something. And what is this Dovar? This Dovar is somewhat secretive, somewhat mysterious. It's a secret that's only known to the Malach HaMavis. And this secret, something that we need to know today, but we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu to implement this secret that was bestowed upon him, transmitted to him by the Malach HaMavis. How do you stop a magefa? How do you terminate a terrible plague? And this plague is going to threaten to destroy the entire nation of Israel. And that's after the whole story of Korach v'Hadasso. And the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Moshe turns to Aaron, and he instructs Aaron, Vayitein es haktores vayichaper ala'om. It's the ktores that has the secret power to stop death and to neutralize this plague that the Malach HaMavis was, because of the divine wrath, was threatening to destroy the Jewish people. But the atonement, the kapara, the protection, would come through the ketores. The Omer and the Pasuk tells us, Vayamod bein hamesim ubein hachayim. And Aaron stood between those who died, those who were the rebels, who were part of the rebellion of Korach, and the rest of Klal Yisrael, who were not part of that rebellion, and he stood between them with the ketores, and he stopped the magefa. How did Moshe know to command Aaron with this very mystical and mysterious kind of therapy, if you will, to check the plague and terminate it? Ilav di omalei Misha v'yodea. He must have heard this secret from only that being who could have known that secret. And the only one who knew that secret, other than the Ribbono Shel'olam himself, of course, was the Malach HaMavis. That was his profession, the Malach HaMavis. He knew about plagues, and he knew how to stop the plagues. And that secret of the ketores was transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu already at the time of the giving of the Torah. Now, continuing with the string of agadic statements from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, V'shoshi Yored Moshe, Milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah, and he comes down from Shamayim. Bas Satan V'yomer Lefanov. The Satan comes in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ribbono Shel Olam, Torah Heichan Hi. You know, it seems like once the Torah was given and it was transmitted from the heavens, the world of the angels, down to this earth, the angels felt that the world above the heavens were missing something. Until this point, until they transmitted the Torah, until they gave up on their claim, there was a realm of spirituality up in the heavens in which the Torah was powerful. And where is the Torah? And the Satan has a particular interest in knowing where the Torah is, because his job is to try to trip up people and force them, or at least to entice them, if you will, to violate the will of God. This is why Bechirah Chofshit, freedom of choice, is so essential and can be implemented as a reality because of the creation of the Satan. So the Satan is a little bit upset now. He's caught aback. Where is the Torah? Torah Heichani. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nisati ala Aretz. The Aretz, which perhaps represents not just the physical globe, but maybe it represents the entire universe. Halach Eitzel Aretz. Now, when we talk about Aretz as a living being, and the Satan is going to engage the Aretz in a dialogue, we must assume that we're talking about the spiritual nature of the Aretz. Every being that God created has a malach, has its own sar, its own spiritual officer. Amalah, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent the Satan to the Aretz, because that's where the Torah is, now the Satan addresses the Aretz, Torah Heichanhi. Where is the Torah? I came down to the Aretz, and I don't see the Torah. I don't find the Torah. And now Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi invokes a parsha at the end of Sefer Iyov to understand the response of the Aretz. Amrolo, Aretz is in feminine, so she turns to the Satan and says, Elokim hevin darka. Hashem, God, understands its path. Now let me take just a moment to read the entire pasuk, because this is important. It says at the end of the pasuk, which is not quoted in our text, Vehu yada es mekoma. Only God knows its place. And the premise is that what is the subject of this statement in Iyov, Behu yada es mekoma, that only God knows its place down here on earth. It must be the Torah. Now, at this point, the Satan thinks that if the Aretz is not going to give him a real answer, he's going to send him back to the Ribono Shel Olam, then he should exhaust other possibilities. Holach Eitzel Yam. Right, the universe is made up of Aretz and Yamim, of the solid dry land and the waters, the seas. In fact, in Iyov, in a different chapter, the pasuk says, Rechava mine yam, that the Torah is broader and wider than the seas. So therefore it must be that the Torah is greater than the yam, and we can already anticipate the response of the yam. Omar lo, the yam says to the Satan, Eini Madi, I'm not great enough, I'm not wide enough to hold on to the Torah. The Torah is too great for me. Holech Eitzel Tahom. Now, Satan thinks perhaps below the earth, down at the core of the earth. Maybe that's where I could find the Torah. Omar lo, the Tahom says, Ein bi, shenemar. Again, quoting a pasuk in Iyov, Tahom Omar Lo vihi, v'yam amar eini madi. that parsha in Iov, Perek Chaf Dalid, which is addressing the Torah. Where is the Torah? Tahora says, the Tahom, down in the depths of the bowels of the earth, says, Lo bi, I don't have the Torah. The Yam says, Eimadi, I cannot hold on to the Torah. And now at this point, the Satan turns to Avadon Vamoves, to the destructive forces of the universe. There's a sire, a spiritual celestial being that oversees that place. We call it Gehenom. And is it possible that the sire of Gehenom would really have the answer? The Torah was given to Gehenom? That doesn't make much sense. Omru Avadon Vamoves, these sarim of death, and what happens, purgatory after death, Omru, Biaznenu Shamanu Shma'a, which means we didn't receive the Torah. We heard about the Torah that it was given. And at this point, the Satan throws up his arms. He's got to go back to HaKadosh Baruch. Chazav Yomel Tnei HaKadosh Baruch, he reports to God, Ribono Shel Olam, Chipasti B'chol Ha'aretz. I searched in every facet of the universe that you created, V'lo Mitzasiya. No one is able to tell me where to find the Torah. Can you tell me where to find the Torah? Omalo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Satan, Lech Etzel Ben Amram, go to the son of Amram. And there's a long discussion here in the Marsha, the Marshal, and the Maral, as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Ben Amram and didn't call him by his name Moshe. Halach etzel Moshe v'yomer lo Torah shenosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu heichan hi. You're the one who knows where the Torah is, apparently. That's what God told me. And I'm going to prove to you, says the Satan by implication, that you cannot fulfill the Torah. You're flesh and blood. You're created by a mother, a human mother. Omar lo, at this point, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit overwhelmed and awestruck by this confrontation with the Satan. V'chimani, you're right. Who am I? Shenosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaTorah. Shenosan, could God have possibly given me the Torah? And this is a great a reflection of Moshe Rabbeinu's anava, of his humility. Amalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, wait a second, Moshe. You're telling the Satan, Mani, why do you come to me to ask me where the Torah is? Badoyata. You're fibbing. You're not being truthful. You're not being straight. You know that I gave you the Torah. Why are you telling the Satan, Mani, who am I? Amalafon of Ribono Shel Olam. In all truth, in all honesty, Chamuda Gnuzi Yeshlecha, Shatom Shtasheaba Bechol Yom. You know, we're talking about this great infinite treasure. And this is a delight, something that you, God, delight in every day. Ani Achzik Tova Liatzmi. Would I flatter myself and make a statement that I received the Torah? I can't even get those words out of my mouth. Your radiance, your presence is embodied in the Torah. Am I able to receive that essence? Amalah HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Hoyel Mi'atita Atzmecha. Since you have personified the midah of humility, you have diminished yourself, Tikare al Shmecha, the Torah be called on your name, as it says at the end of Tanakh, in Malachi, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. And here we learn the lesson that humility is so critical, is so crucial, it's the most important attribute for the study of Torah. And somebody who says, well, the Torah is greater than me, the Torah belongs to Hashem. I can only try to study it. But how much can I accomplish in Torah? Torah is infinite. And such a person is called Mi'atita Es Atzmecha. That's humility. And that's why the Torah is always compared to Mayim that goes from higher places down to lower places. Let's go back to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, B'shasha Ola Moshe Lamorom, when Moshe came up to receive the Torah, Matzol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaya Kosher Ksarim Liosios. He found that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was adding crowns to the letters of the Torah. These are called Tagim. And elsewhere in Masechta Menachos, the Gemara is going to tell us that these tagim that were placed on the letters by HaKadosh Baruch Hu were interpreted by none other than Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a vision of Rabbi Akiva teaching the Torah and interpreting these tagim. Omar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, ein shalom be'ircha. There are no greetings in your town. In other words, this is a rhetorical question. Moshe Rabbeinu, you came in up to Shamayim and you didn't give me shalom? You didn't say shalom aleichem? How important is it when you see someone to give him shalom aleichem? Amul afanav, Moshe says to Ribono Shel Olam, klum yesh eved shenosein shalom l'rabo? A servant comes in to see his master and he gives him shalom aleichem? Is that proper behavior? I'm going to greet the Adon? I have to be silent. With humility, Amar lo, but nevertheless, Moshe Rabbeinu, hoylcha lazreini. If you didn't give me shalom and greet me with shalom, at least you should have offered some sort of support. You should have given me a bracha. Miyad Amar lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ata now, Yigdal no koach Hashem kasher dibarta. May the strength of the Lord be magnified as you have spoken, a pasuk in Bamidbar. And we go on now with the teachings of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, my dechsiv, what do we do with the pasuk? In Shmos, it says, Vayark ha'om ki voshesh Moshe. Now, Rabbosai, we're in a turning point in this Agadah. Until now, we've been talking about the glory of man, the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu, that even the Malachi HaShoreis owed him one, until they admitted and confessed that he should be getting the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu's Anova. But now we're at a turning point, and unfortunately, the line curves a little bit towards the negative side, thumbs down. The people saw that Moshe Rabbeinu delayed in descending in the mountain. And the Gemara says that the word boshesh, which means in English to delay, should be read in a more profound way, which is going to reveal the secret of what's going to happen now, this episode that occurs when the people understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed in coming down from Har Sinai. Al tikri boshesh el boshesh. The sixth hour came. And what's this all about? Bishah sha'ala Moshe la'morah mamlam Yisrael. Moshe tells the people when he ascends the mountain, L'sof arboim yom, 40 days are going to pass, and betchila sheish, the beginning of the sixth hour, ani ba, I return. Now this date that Moshe Rabbeinu calculated would be shivasar betamus. The people came to the mistaken conclusion that Moshe was promising that he would return on the 16th of Tammuz, not the 17th, one day earlier. And Moshe Rabbeinu said it would be in the sixth hour. Now, why did the people misinterpret what Moshe said? So you may recall that when we learned 2 days ago the sugya on Daf Pei Zayin of Polete Shechva Zora and the sugya Prisha Mina Isha, we had two opinions. According to one school of thought in the Tanoim, we can start from the very day of Prisha. And that would be that Wednesday before Nesinas HaTorah. Rabbi Akiva was of the opinion, no. We need full days. We need onos. And therefore, that very day, that Wednesday, middle of the day, according to Halacha, when they got the mitzvah prisha, that day could not be calculated. We could only start counting hours. And here was the discrepancy and the misunderstanding between Moshe and the people. The people thought that when Moshe spoke about 40 days, he was talking about calendar days. Like that school of Tanoim that we mentioned, that Wednesday itself could be calculated as one of the days of Prisha. And therefore, the very day that Moshe Rabbeinu told them, I am now going up to the mountain, that day itself is also included. Moshe Rabbeinu did not have that in mind. He had in mind that from tomorrow, when we have a full day with a night that follows with daylight, that's going to be the first day of the 40 days. So in their miscalculation, they anticipated that Moshe had promised that he would return on the 16th of Tammuz, one day earlier. But so far, Boim Yom, according to their calculation, when 40 days passed and they got to the 16th of Tammuz, and it was now the sixth hour, where is Moshe Rabbeinu? Bas Satan, now Satan realizes how vulnerable the people are, that there's one point that's very shaky, and he can focus on that. And there's such a deep psychological insight here in this Gemara, that there's some force, perhaps within a man's own soul, that is vulnerable. And if it expands, if you harp on that nakuda, oh, it could bring you to the end. Every person has to realize where his nekuda satur, for where his sensitive point is. And he has to strengthen, he has to work on that point. Bas satan ve'irbe v'sa'olam. The satan started confusing the world. The entire earth was now turned into some darkness, some gloomy, murky place, a cloud, a fog. There's confusion. There's behala. There are people who are going out in the middle of the night, and they are smashing down windows. They're creating Bahala. Amar lahen. So the Satan says to them, Moshe Rabchan Heichanhu. Ha 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 ha. He's playing with them. He realizes that they are in a state of confusion, and the reflection of that confusion is in the meteorological discussion, description of the earth. Amrulo Olala Morom. As if you don't know, Satan, where Moshe is. Amalahem Bo Sheish, the sixth hour has passed. Where is Moshe? Don't you realize he's not coming back? Lo Ishgichol, they were still dedicated to believe that Moshe would come. Okay, he's delayed a little bit. He got caught up. Maybe had a meeting to go to. Mace, the Satan said he's dead. Lo Ishgichol of. They still don't pay attention. Herolam Dmus Mitaso. Now, I don't think that the Satan was successful in creating a bier, meaning a coffin, on a bed that Moshe Rabbeinu's dead body is being carried through the heavens, but he created some sort of an image, you know, something dreamlike. And when they saw that sight, they identified it as the body of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'hainu dekamri leila Moshe li'aron. That's why the pasuk describes what they turned to Aaron and they said, ki zeh Moshe Ha'ish, this Moshe Rabbeinu, this man is Lo Yadanu Mai Hoyo Lo. We don't know what happened to him. And at that point, they were overly depressed, and they really came to the conclusion that Moshe Rabbeinu had died. And as Reb Chaim Shmulevitz always points out, a person could go from the highest down to the lowest. Here the people were at Har Sinai. They had just left not long ago Mitzrayim with all the Nisim and Niflaos, Kriyas Yamsuf, but somehow the evil inclination, that Satan, that Yetzirah, is able to focus on that one point where man is vulnerable and bring man down. And the Satan brings the people into a state of alarm. And once a person is never taken over by that state of alarm, there's no end to how low he could fall. And that's why depression is so severe. It's such a disease. It's a lot worse than medical problems. Amalahu Ahura Banal Rav Kahana. Mishmilach Mai Har Sinai. Do you have any insight, Rav Kahana, as to what the name Sinai means? There must be a deeper meaning alluded to by this name. Amalei, he gave an answer to one of the rabbis. Rav Kahana offered an answer which is not going to be accepted. Har Shenasu Bo Nisim Li Yisrael. This was a har, a mountain on which great miracles befell the Jewish people. At Har Sinai, they saw Kolos Ubrakim. So the Ahumi Rabbana is not happy with that. Har Nisai Mi Boile. Not Sinai. There should be a nun there, right? If you're talking about Ness, Ness has a nun in it. Sinai, it doesn't have a nun. I mean, it has a nun after the Samach, but we need a nun before the Samach. Ela Harsha Nasa Simon Tov Li Yisrael. Change the word Sinai to Simon. But once again, there's a mem missing in the word Sinai. Har Simonai Mi Boil. It should have said, or it should have been called, the mountain of Simonai, of Simon. And if it's a Simon Tov, a good omen, where is that critical letter mem in Har Sinai? Amale. So Rav Kahana offered the following answer. My time alo shchicha kamed Rav Papa Rav Huda Breid Rav Yeshua dema'ayni v'agadata. You know what? You're coming to ask me this question. You know where you should be? You should be located with Rav Chisda and Rav Papa. And you probably, had you been around, you would have gotten an answer to your question. The Rav Chisda, Rav Rabba, Breid Rav Huna, the Amri Chavai, they both said, "My Har Sinai." What's the meaning of the word Sinai? Har Sheyarda Sinali Ovdei Kochavim Olav. Now it's very hard to translate those words because there are two ways and two shitos amongst the Rishonim and the Achronim how to interpret these words. So let's offer two possibilities. There's a certain Sinai, a certain hatred that is generated at Har Sinai, and it's focused on the idol worshippers. One interpretation has it that the Har Sinai was the place in which God's anger, His hatred against the idolaters began, descended into the world. Because at Har Sinai, God revealed Himself as the one God, all-powerful. And that episode of Har Sinai was something that had a ripple effect throughout the entire universe. And everyone could have known. And the idolaters are those who basically rebel against the one God. Another interpretation here is that the sin of Ovdei Kochavim is directed not by God to the idol worshippers, by the idol worshippers to the people of Israel. Because deep down inside, the idol worshippers realize at some level of their subconsciousness, perhaps, that God had revealed Himself to the people of Israel and given them the Torah. They were jealous, they were envious, and they hated the Jewish people. And it all started at Har Sinai. Very paradoxical, because we've been discussing all the glory and the great miracles of Har Sinai, but we also have to realize that Har Sinai initiates the beginning of historic anti-Semitism for all of Jewish history. V'ayinu d'yomer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Chamisha Shemos Yeshlo. If you go through the Torah, you will find that Har Sinai has five different names. On the one hand, it's called Midbar Tzin, and the significance of the word Tzin is Shenitztava Olav, the Jewish people who commanded, and the word Tzin comes from the word Sivui, when it's Tavu, and that's where the Jewish people were given the mandates to observe the Torah. It's also called Midbar Kadesh, Shenizkachu Yisrael Olav. On this mountain, or for the sake of the Torah that was given on that mountain, this Kadoshu, the people of Israel were sanctified, and all the laws of Gerus, of conversion, of Kedushas Yisrael, are derived from that episode of Har Sinai. It's also called Midbar Kedemus, Kedemos, Shenitna Keduma Olav. Keduma means something that pre-existed the entire universe, and that's the Torah. The Torah was given at Midbar Kedemos. And it's called Midbar Paran, And here we turn to Peites Amid Beis, Sheparu Veravu Aleha Yisrael. That on this mountain, the Jewish people were fruitful. And we're talking about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the people of Israel after they had separated themselves from their wives, once they received the Torah, Shuvu Lachem Le'olechem, go back to your tents, and a great miracle took place, and they resumed marital relations, and on that occasion, each man's wife, Rashi says, became pregnant with a boy, and this is the great miracle of Pru Revu that happened at Har Sinai, Midbar Paran. And finally, Midbar Sinai, Sheyarda Sina Li'ovde Kochavim Olav, the hatred, shall we say, of God in this interpretation to the idolaters, descended upon this mount. Umashmo, but after all these five names, what is the real biblical name of this mountain? Chorev Shmo. Okay, that's one opinion. Pligi the Rabbi Abba, I mean, this last statement is against Rabbi Abba, because Rabbi Abba said, Har Sinai Shmo, and Chorev is a secondary name, Veloma Nikra Har Chorev, which means that sometimes the Torah gives a second name in order to reveal the essence of something, or somebody, some being. Sheyarda Churba Li'ovde Kochavim Olav. The Churba, the destruction to the idol worshippers, begins and is generated by Har Sinai. That's the Churva of Har Chorev. And this would support that interpretation that we mentioned before, that Yarda Sina Liovde Kachav means God's hatred and intolerance to the idol worshippers was initiated at Har Sinai. Okay, Rabosai, this ends the entire sugya of the Agadah of Matan Torah and all the string of statements of Rabbi Yishub ben Levi. And now, we go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah tells us something about Yom HaKippurim. On Yom Kippur, the Mishnah tells us that the Sayyir HaMishtaleach was sent out to the Midbar with a person called an Ish-Iti, and when he got to the precipice from which he would push the Sayyir off the top, he would tie a ribbon. One end of the ribbon was tied to the mountain, to a stone, and the other end was tied around the neck of this goat, this he-goat. And the color of this ribbon, which was crimson, a kind of a reddish color, would turn white when the Sayyir reached the bottom of this precipice. And the Mishnah derives this, Minayin Shekoshrin Lashon Shalzor, this is all part of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah invokes the Pasuk in Yeshayahu HaNavi, and the Pasuk says the following, Im Yiyuchata Echem Kishanim, and shanim means a crimson color, kasheleg yalbinu, that crimson wool color in the wool ribbon will turn to white. But take a look at the word in the pasuk that refers to this scarlet colored wool. It's called shanim, and the Tanakh uses the plural. The Gemara asks, Kashanim, Kashani mi boile. It should have said Kashani, like a scarlet wool in the singular. And now the Gemara is going to take the word Shanim completely out of context, so to speak, and look it up in a dictionary. You'll find synonyms. You'll find meanings. And although the literal translation of the word shani or shanim is scarlet wool, but the word shanim has a different meaning entirely in Lashon Kodesh, as often words do, and it means years, shanim. Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Om Rabbi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Im Yu Chataychem Kashanim Alolu, God compares or connects the sins of the people of Israel with years. Which years? The year Shesiduros Ubos Misheshis Yimei Breshis Verachshav, basically from creation till now. So the allusion in the word Shonim is to the entire history of the world. And the Chatoim are something that, in a sense, they carry the people of Israel from time immemorial till today. And nevertheless, even though the Jewish people might be guilty of sin, that is duros ubos kishonim, like all the years, nevertheless kashele yelbinu, which is a great message of hope, and a great message of the power of tshuva, that repentance can bring about an atonement, not only for someone who randomly sins from time to time, but even if his sins form a pattern, like the years of creation, like the history of man. Certainly we define these sins and those who commit these sins as sinners, as rishoyim, but nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that tshuva is an amazing power. In the divine compassion, God created an entity of tshuva. And even if the regularity of sin is such that it could be compared to all the days of creation, nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kasheleg Yalbinu, there will be atonement if you undergo the process, the sincere process of tshuva. And perhaps there's a remez here for the Yemos HaMashiach at the very end of history, when Hashem will forget our sins. Dorash Rava, Mai Dichsiv, what do we do with the next pasuk? Or actually, it's the previous pasuk. In that same context, in Yeshayahu HaNavi, and the pasuk says the following: Lechu na v'nivokcha yomar Hashem. And then afterwards it says, imi you, as we quoted early, chatoechem kashonim kishel yelbinu. So there's an introduction here to the pasuk that tells us that our sins will be converted from crimson to white. Go now, let us reason together. Hashem will say, God will say, let us reason together. And go now. So Rava asks a question or two. Lechu na? Why does the pasuk say go now? If Hashem is addressing the people, he should say, Bo'u na, mi boile. Come now. Not go now, but come now. And then it says, Yomar Hashem, in the future tense, Omar Hashem, mi boile. God should have said that not Yomar, but Omar. Not he will say, but he said. And all of this, says Rava, should be interpreted as a hint, as an allusion to something that's going to happen in the distant future. V'yasid lavo, Yomar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, lechu na, God at the end of days will turn to the people of Israel and say, go now. Where should you go? Eitzel avoseichem. Go to your great giant forefathers, your avos, and v'yochichu eschem, and they will give you the proper tochacha so that you'll be able to do tshuva for your sins. And apparently, the avos were in a great position because they were the They were the forefathers of Klal Yisrael. A father loves his son, and out of love, there's a possibility of giving tochacha on the most profound level. Now at that point, v'yomru lefanav, again in the future tense, the Jewish people will say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel'Olam, Etzel Mi Nelech. Where should we start? Etzel Avram, should we go to Abraham? Shel Martolo Yodo Ateda. Ki Ger Yezaracha, V'eretz Lo Lahem V'Avadum V'Inu Osam. After all, Avram at the Bris Bein of Asarim received the prophetic revelation that the people of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, will be oppressed for 400 years. V'lo bikesh rachamim olav. And Avram Avinu passively accepted that divine decree. Where was Avram's mercy? He didn't ask for mercy. Should we go Eitzel Yitzchak? Shebirech es Esav? Now, this bracha that Yitzchak bestowed upon Esav is codified in a pasuk that says, Vayok asher tarid uparakta ulo me'al tzavarecha. That when you are grieved, you will cast off his yoke from upon your neck. And this pasuk is interpreted as again a prophetic prophecy that the descendants of Esav will grieve, will cause grief to the people of Israel, to the descendants of Yaakov. If we don't find that Yitzchak asked for mercy on our behalf, should we go Eitzel Yaakov? Shal Martolo, you said to him, Anochi. Just one second, let me just turn the page here, sorry. Vanochi ered imcha mitzrayma, vanochi aleh gam olo. Yaakov again was told that the people will go down to Mitzrayim, and that's where they're going to suffer the exile in Mitzrayim. V'lo bikesh olav, v'lo bikesh rachim olenu. And Yaakov himself did not beg for mercy on his people. We want to go to our avos that have love for us, that will plead for us, that would put forth our case and defend us. And we don't find that the avos in fact did so. Etzel mi nelech? Achshav yomar Hashem. Which means, God, you will give us tochacha. You will rebuke us, and we will depend and rely upon you. We have our faith in you, God, that you, when you give tochacha, you will do so out of total love for the people of Israel. Omar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hoilu tlisem atzmechem bi, since you made yourself totally dependent upon me, therefore, im yu chatoeichem keshonim kashelag yalbinu, God will whiten your sins like the snow. So basically, what Yeshayahu HaNavi is teaching us, that in merit of our faith and our reliance upon God, we trust in Him, we will be surrounded by divine kindness and mercy. And when God will decide our fate, He will forgive our iniquities and kishelag yalbino. And now the Gemara offers another agadic interpretation regarding the future kapara, the atonement of Klal Yisrael, and its relationship to the avos. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Omer Rabbi Yonasan, Maidich Siv. what does the pasuk mean? Again, in Yeshayahu Navi, ki ato avinu, you are our father. Ki Avram lo yadanu, v'Yisrael lo yakirenu. Abraham does not know us, and Yaakov, called Yisrael here in this pasuk, does not recognize us. Ata Hashem avinu goalenu me'olam shmecha. Yeshayahu Hanavi says, you, for all eternity, Hashem, are our Father, our Redeemer, from time immemorial is your name. Very strange. The pasuk says that Avram lo yadanu, Yisrael lo yakirenu. What's this all about? Says Rabbi Shmuel, Liosid lavo yomer lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avram. God is going to come to Avram, and He's going to say to Avram, Bonecha chatuli amalafana. So we're expecting that Avram, if you know, when he finds out that his descendants have sinned against God, and God wants to bring out His wrath, something should come from Avram, if you know, that would be encouraging, that would be compassionate. And instead, Amar lefanov, Avram Avinu, as if he gave up on Klal Yisrael, says, Ribono Shalom, Yimachu al Kedushas Hashem, at least when you destroy them and take their lives, when you execute divine justice against those who transgress your Torah, at least do it in a way that those who will suffer, those who will die al Kedush Hashem. Amar Hashem says, he's not satisfied. Emor leli Yaakov. Maybe Yaakov will have more compassion. Da'avi le'tzar gidul bonin. You know, he had to raise 12 children and they fought with each other, with Yosef and so forth. Efshar deboi rachmei alai. Perhaps I can anticipate that at least Yaakov will have compassion on his children. Omalei, and he tells Yaakov, Anecha chatu, and I'm about to implement my divine wrath. Omal lefanov, and Yaakov says again, Ribono shel olam yimachu al kedush hashmecha. They should be obliterated and sanctify your name. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to declare at that point, Lo besabi tamav lo bedakta ki etza. Sabi is a reference to Avram Avinu, the elder. And Dardaki, children, is youth, is a reference to Yaakov Avinu. And I don't find counsel, and I'm not satisfied neither with the elders nor with the youth. So now, let's go to Yitzchak. Amaloli Yitzchak banecha chatuli. Amalafanav. Yitzchak responds, Ribono shel olam, banai velo banecha, you call them my sons, they're not your children? After all, you call them your children. And when did that happen? B'shoshek dimu lefanecha nasa l'nishmat at Har Sinai, you said, B'ni b'chori Yisrael, karasa lahem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. You yourself testified, God, that this nation is your firstborn. Is achshav bonai v'lo banecha, now that they sinned. They're my children and not your children. V'od kama chatu. Let's go through a life of 70 years and determine how much they sinned. Kama shnosu shel adam shivim shana. Okay, we find that Hashem considers a generation of sinners to meet out punishment to be 70 years. Is dal esrim delo onish alai? You can't punish them for the first 20 years because they're too young to be punished. And Chazal tell us that, just one second, that we find in the Dara Midrash lo onish elami ben esrim shana v'mala, that during the sinning of Bnei Yisrael in the wilderness, punishment was only meted out to those who were 20 years old or earlier. So we cannot punish the people of Israel or any Jew for what he did in the first 20 years of his life. So we're now down to 50. Pashulo chamimshin. So we're left with 50. Dal, let's subtract esrim chamesh delay losa. Right, people sleep for 12 hours. or during the nighttime. So therefore we have to divide the number 50 into half. Is Pashule Esrim Chamesh. We're left for 25 years. Dal Tarti Srei Upalga. We should subtract 12 and a half years. Ditsali Umechal Udebesa Kise. Because half of the day they dedicate to prayer, to food, meaning to their biological needs, to the Beis HaKise. Poshulu Tarti Srei Upalga, you're left with only 12 and a half years left. So this maximum 12 and a half years in a person's life that are dedicated to sin out of 70. And that's the mute. I'll make you a deal, Yitzhak says to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Imata sovel es kulam. You know what? If you're willing to tolerate the entire 12 and a half year period of sins, mutav, that's great. V'im lav, if you're not willing to do so, after all, you, God, gave us the Eitz Hara, so you should also chip in. But if you're not willing to, then palgo lai palgo lech, at least take half upon you and half upon me. I'm willing to take upon me the punishment for half of that 12 and a half years. V'im tinsulomar, kulam alai, and if you say no, you're not willing to participate at all, and I have to take the full 12 and a half years, ha-kravis nafshi kamach. After all, I was willing to give up my life, and I sacrificed myself at the Akedah. Is paschu vi'amru, and now the people of Israel recite the praises of Yitzchak, ki ato avinu, that you are our Father. And again, there's a long discussion here about what Ata Avinu means, but let's just assume, just 1 second. Paschu v'yomru ki Ata Avinu, you Yitzchak are our true Father. Amalem Yitzchak, Yitzchak responds, Ad shatem kalsim li, you're praising me, kalsul HaKadosh Baruch. He's the true Father. He's the one who's willing to look aside and kashelig yalbinu and atone for your sins. Umachvi lehu Yitzchak HaKadosh Baruch beinayhu. And Yitzchak will show the people in front of their eyes the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch. Miyad nosu einem lamorom. At that point, the people of Israel will lift their eyes up above to the heavens. V'yomrim, they'll declare, At Hashem avinu goalenu me'olam shmecha. You, O God, are our Father, our Redeemer from time immemorial, and your great name. That's the pasuk that we quoted earlier. Omar Abchia bar Abba. Omer Ab Yochanan, Roy Hoy Yaakov Hivu Leireid Limitzrayim Bishal Shalos Shal Barzal. This was the beginning of the enslavement in Egypt. And Yaakov, therefore, when he goes down to Mitzrayim, he should have been taken down in chains, like anyone who's taken into exile. El Zchuso Garmala, but he had a great merit. Tichsiv, as the Pasuk tells us in Hoshea Novi, Bechavle Adam Emshechem Ba'avosos Ava. With the ropes of a man, I will draw them to Mitzrayim with braids of love. Avosos Ava, braids of love. V'ela lahem kimrime ol al lichyehem v'at elav ochil. I'll be to them as those who lift off a yoke from their jowls, and I will extend towards them the strength to bear intense labor. So this was the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion, that Mitzrayim, that Yaakov was able to go down to Mitzrayim with honor, and not b'sharsha'os shel barzel. Hamotzi eitzim kidei levashel beit sakala. What's the shear of hotzah for a piece of wood? How large is the wood? It's wood that could be fuel for a flame, and you could cook a very easily cooked egg. The Gemara is going to ask, what's an easily cooked egg? Tavlin, if you're carrying spices, kedele tabel, beitza, kala, if you have this small egg and you want to add spices, how many spices would you need? Umitztarfim zedze, if you have different kinds of spices, they combine together to form the shear. Klipe agozim, klipe rimonim, isatis upua. We're talking about the husks that cover walnuts or pomegranates, safflower, and isatis is some sort of a coat, a matter that you can use for a dye. Dye kedelitz bar behem beged cut on piece vacha, that you could dye a small cloth that a woman used to put on top of her hat. Meira glayim, even urine has a function if it's left a certain 30 days. We'll see the Gemara. Neser uboris kimolia viashlag. Again, the English is very foreign here. It's natron, soapwort, kimolia, ashlag. These are all types of detergents, different kinds of chemical substances that are used in cleaning. Kedei lechabes, beged cotton piece vacha, enough to clean a small cloth that a woman puts on top of her head. Rabbi Yehuda omer, kedei lehavir sakesem. It's got to be a cloth. I'm sorry, it has to be a detergent that has the power to clean a stain, a blood stain off of a garment.